Hey, it's the Low Life, Podcast. Do you know anything about that? You jammed the pops on Cowboys and Service Bases? Ever read No Man's Trees? Ever experienced a new way? Next way?
You found us. It's the Low Life Podcast. I am Coin Ops McGillicuddy, and I put a little bit of tincture in my iced tea, and we are on a ticking clock. You're joined, as always, by Shadowlink.
Hello.
Scum.
Hi.
Zero.
Broadcasting live from the embattled Low Life Studios.
Well done. And we are joined by a very special guest, Soft Rock, who Zero will explain forthwith.
What's up?
Yeah, so I moved. I'm no longer in Virginia. I'm in Ohio now.
Location. We don't need to. We don't need to help our Fed watchers find you. I mean, again,
look, we have there's an office here in town, so it's fine. They know. <It's>, not even worried about that. They're probably happy to have you.
Yeah. Now you moved into a meme.
You got to make them earn that salary. Come on.
All the kids are calling me. Oh, that's so Ohio. I was like, man, we've been saying that. You ain't even insulting us and shit. Anyway, before we get into it,
Yeah.
A week's, huh?
Yeah.
How'd you like that runaway movie, listener? we're going to be doing another movie review next week. We'll tell you about that at the end. Let's see. And, I guess we'll just get into it right after these messages is a thing I would say if we had commercials. And we don't. Hey, Zing. We have a Patreon, however. If you,
yes.
Let me break this down. If you go to neondystopia.com, you're going to get some really good fiction, and it'll link you to basically everything else that we're kind of into.
And hopefully more nonfiction in the future.
Yeah, we'll get some more nonfiction going on.
Hopefully.
We also have, like I said, a Patreon where if you like what we're doing and you'd like to kick us some butt, we appreciate it because it helps us to do all sorts of crazy shit. Like rent the movie that we're going to review.
And also
pay the writers.
Absolutely.
So, and thank you to everybody who is donating currently.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You guys keep the lights on. We appreciate it so much.
Indeed. So
please.
What had happened was
this week on this week's thrilling episode.
Before I left Virginia, I got to hang out with Zero for a bit and also our friend Soft Rock briefly. And I don't know what came over me. I think it was probably because I was on my third Red Bull or something. But I was just like, yo, man, we come back. We're going to do a fucking episode about Poe's Law. And guess what? We tried our best to try to structure something. There's no way really to do it. It's basically... What we're going to do is just kind of talk about what Poe's Law is, since it's a fairly recent internet thing. Fairly recent. It's fucking 7 years ago.
Last 10 years for sure.
And it's a concept that, once you hold in your mind, really kind of helps clear certain things out for you a bit. But it's also cautionary because, at the core of this, you know, we are kind of like a writer's podcast. Like, I'm trying to get back into the game, et cetera. We're all at various stages of it. And what to write is important. You know, like, why you're approaching the thing is important. Why you want to create something, put something into the world. Like, that's very, very important. And one of the trickiest things is comedy. And then, like, within comedy, one of the trickiest things to do is satire. Mostly because sometimes you have a few different options, you know, like you have, wow, that fucking worked. That was hilarious. Well done. Then you also have the, try hard sons of bitches. Like, this is a satire. This is mockery. It's like not even making a point. And then you have that third weird option where it's, you're not sure what the fuck it's trying to do, which is often the worst, because, you know, every act of creation is a form of communication. You're trying to move an idea out of your brain meat, stuff it into somebody else's brain meat.
And that third option is sometimes, oh, curses, they think I'm serious.
Yes. That's the worst part, where we don't come off as a satirist.
Yeah, the third option goes both ways.
Yeah. So,
imagine, if you will, if somebody in, let's say, the 19th century or something. No, it wasn't the 19th. The 17th century. Someone wrote an essay on how people should start eating babies.
Yeah.
Irishmen make incredible leg meats.
Yeah.
We should totally eat babies.
Yeah. But I mean, as a working definition from my studies, and by the way, this one kind of baked my brain a little bit, because besides the ingesting, you know, Poe's law, getting a definition that we can talk about. I went down kind of a rabbit hole on post-irony, post-modernism, hyper-irony, meta-irony, irony. New sincerity is another one that is kind of.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But anyhow, as a working definition, what I came to is that Poe's law is that you can't argue anything from an extreme viewpoint online without somebody believing that you are being serious.
Right.
And as a little bit of a digression, that's why I wanted to have Soft Rock on here. Soft Rock and I go way back to the early days of when the internet came to you from AOL on CDs in the mail. And the internet screamed at you when you tried to hook up to it. Yeah, back in the days of 14.4 modems, we would get on BBSs, and we were just like, literally, we were probably some of the first trolls that existed. I'm not sure that they had a name for us back then. But AOL was in Herndon. It was like, right, 15-minute drive. We got a lot of the CDs, and we would go on there. We thought we were providing a service to people to make them more entertained by, like, just coming at them with ridiculous ideas, confusing viewpoints, extreme viewpoints, and we would just like do this for fun all the time. We would go coordinate attacks, go into chat rooms together on different message boards, pretending to be strangers and just like stirring shit up for fun. Again, at like 17, 18, 19 years old. And it's kind of like made a profession of it. Well, not, so I wouldn't say a profession. I'd say you're more of like a guerrilla shit poster. I mean, nobody pays you to do it. Soft Rock. Fun.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's more of kind of a social experiment, sort of just seeing how people react and stuff. Because like, it was something I was sort of into for a while. I had no idea even was called trolling or whatever until there was some South Park episode about it. You know, I hadn't done it like any time recent like that or whatever. Yeah. But my ex's kid, he did all that. And he just... aggravating, just anything and everything you can think of just to piss you off or whatever. And a few years later, just kind of like bored, whatever, just thought like, I'm just gonna like, I'm reading like the comments on like news and stuff like that, online news. So I can't tell if these people are real or not. So I started getting on Quora and just kind of messing with people, whatever, just trying to like see if these people are serious or not. And I can't tell. After all this time, yeah. I have asked like over 800 questions on Quora, just the most obnoxious, just crazy, just nuts, out of control stuff. And there's people that like answer it. I think they're really serious. I can't tell.
Well, online isn't, cause, okay, I'm going to be honest. We were like hashing this out Sunday, not yesterday, Sunday.
Sunday.
Oh my God.
We were hashing this out.
Some of us are experiencing missing time.
Listen. Yeah, I don't know what I did yesterday. Yeah. I saw Furiosa. Anyway, I put my brain into a knot because it's like when you're talking to somebody online, no matter how batshit the subject matter is, or no matter how insane, depraved, idiotic, you have to assume they're telling the truth, right?
No.
Mm. Well, where do you come at it with your initial, like, how's your reception? Do you initially believe that they're coming, like, with their heart on their sleeve, or do you believe that people are online, like, deceptive creatures waiting for you to slip up?
I mean, I guess it depends on the space that you're in, really. But for me,
my specific
brand of autism, like, disallows me from being able to sense sometimes when people are being sarcastic, especially in writing. It's ironic because, you know, I want to write, but sometimes, like, listen, if you handed me Fight Club without showing me the movie and I read through it, I would have thought that was serious.
Oh, I don't know. I thought the book was funny as fuck.
Yeah,
well, but I read the book after I saw the movie, which I thought was funny as fuck. You know what I mean?
Bad at sensing humor in writing a lot of times. Is my point.
Okay.
Especially if the writer is not writing for the people in the narrative to be reacting to it, but writing for you to be reacting to it. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But we're talking about, what Softrock's talking about is, like, in Quora, in case you don't know what Quora is, it is the cesspool of the internet where anybody could ask any question, no matter how stupid or depraved.
Or offensive.
And so, Softrock, you ask these questions. Knowing your background, I imagine of a political nature, right? Like, you went, like...
Yeah, at least half of it's like that, yeah.
Okay. And so you went into it, and so the answers that, so you weren't, explain more of like the, like their answer, like you weren't sure, like what was the question and why weren't you sure?
I can't even think of anything that's even like safe to put on the podcast.
I remember you told me that's safe to put on the podcast. I remember you were telling me there was one where like there was something, it was an extreme viewpoint and you were like, you and this guy were like kind of egging on. And then like you even went to him afterwards in like a private message. You're like, you're not serious, yeah. Right? Like,
yeah, and he like he seemed like totally offended that I thought he was just messing around or whatever. I can't remember what the topic was. It was so ridiculously stupid. The position I was taking was just awful. And I'm like, mess with them, whatever. And I'm like, you know, just kind of like, sort of like, I guess, messaging him privately, kind of like pulling him aside. If it wasn't personally pulling him aside, like, hey, are you serious, whatever. Oh my, he just laid into me like he
do
was
you
just
know
like,
how
are
much you... Nazi memorabilia
he, I mean, he, but he like went on and on and on. And then like, I responded to something stupid. I'm like, all right, my bad. I didn't know. I didn't realize people would really like actively that stupid, like really, really trying to like, but you're not even trying to be stupid. You're being serious. Like, I don't know.
He will surprise.
He went on again and again, just.
Thing, you can't like satirically, I'm saying Nazi, I don't know if it was, but it's like you can't satirically be a Nazi because a bunch of Nazis are going to be like, yeah, man.
Right.
And honestly, that was part of what we found in those early days online, that anytime we'd have some kind of like of a right viewpoint, eventually there's somebody that's just like, right on, brother. And it's like,
we should gas homeless people. Oh shit.
It would be stuff like that. Like one would be like, you know, people be talking about poor people and be like, yeah, if only we could get them to like, eventually we'd argue them around to talking about indentured servitude or like, homeless people. Yes. Let's argue them around to rounding them up into camps. Like where we can
you are giving them ideas.
Bringing them around to horrible ideas that were already tried and pointing at them to where in history those ideas came from and how they were tried.
Yeah. So basically, you guys were acting the part of the clown, like in the sense of like Sacha Baron Cohen, right?
Absolutely, yeah, that's 100%. Yeah,
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 yeah. But it wasn't like, but it was intentionally just to f with these people, dude. They have just horrible. They're just so stupid. I just want to like mess with the people. Like, yeah. The other thing I found that's really funny too is like doing these kind of like impersonations and just stuff or whatever, right? So the people like I can mess with people sort of like on my general side, whatever, the left, whatever, can just get them like all going. The right wing dudes though, usually they're just like, fuck you, you're fucking around, blah, blah, blah. Like they can just tell right away. I'm like,
they smell it out a lot quicker.
Yeah, I mean they just know if somebody's not sincere, whatever. It's like I've been trying to like fake it, I guess, for a month or two now. I've been off work, so.
You know, I wouldn't take that too personally, because anything they don't like ends up becoming a false flag. Or, for example, like, oh, the guy that took a shot at Trump was actually Antifa, or like, yeah. Whatever they can do to sanitize their guilt, you know, like, this is what they do, or their involvement, or their.
Yeah, another one. It's weird, though. I have not been able to get any of them thinking like I'm one of them. I've been trying to like get into like their sort of little crews or whatever, see kind of what they talk about in private.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know, it started off as just like a joke. Just like, are these people serious or not? And it's just, you know, I'm not working right now and everything, so I've got time until I move. I'm all good. So just doing this, I guess.
And in your spare time, in the fire, you choose to antagonize fascists.
Yeah,
well done,
yeah.
Sir.
As far as hobbies go, you know.
And it used to be like super leftist too. Now it's very popular, you know, the paradox of intolerance.
Yeah.
Paradox of intolerance, but back then it wasn't so much, you know, you have these people proposing this radical inclusion and, oh, I tolerate everything. I'm like, oh yeah, do you tolerate Jews in ovens? And they're like, well, actually, you know, so it's like, it's just getting people to think more. And again, now the paradox of intolerance is very well known, and it's like, you can't tolerate tolerance.
Yeah.
So getting people to realize that, kind of, you know, come down off their high horse a little bit to be like, there are certain things that we just should not tolerate.
Was part
of the fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with any absolutist. Like, eventually, it doesn't take too many steps to show them, like, well, what about this? You know, and then they go, oh. There have to be, like, that's how you make a fucking society.
But
that's why we have, like safety regulations. You know what I mean? You can't do anything you want. There are things that will physically, like, clearly prevent you from doing those things. Go pick up an aircraft carrier with one arm. No.
Well, let's take it back a little bit, because we're getting way ahead of, like, Poe's Law itself is an internet thing that was first devised for, basically, is like something where it's like to talk. This dude was talking to creationists online.
Oh, so frustrating! Why would you do that?
And it was something he realized is like, unless you have like this is a smiley face at the end of it, they. Are religious people are going to take what you're saying as actual? Is like, they're not going to think that you're.
And the smiley emoji, goes back farther than that. I don't remember. I want to say like mid 80s, late 80s, something like that. When people first started getting online, there's a big, and I remember being chastised a lot for this too. It was like, hey, dude, if you're not going to be serious, you got to put a little smiley and colons next to your name. And I was just like, well, I'd have to do what now? You tell me what?
What? We're like at least a decade into people not being sure whether or not slash X at the end of your statement, you know, means you'll understand that means sarcastic. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like you can't.
There's no real good, clear, universal way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to make something a parody when you're reading something you would think that's just straight up true.
To be honest, though, I think the one that works for me, but is also the most work, is the one where you like capitalize every other letter.
Yes, I love that.
That it's a lot of work unless you have like a keyboard. If you're trying to thumb it, you know, on your fucking phone,
it is worth it. It's worth
sometimes it hits just perfect, hits so
tone. Perfect tone.
Is what I hear, you know. Like, anyway, but yeah, no. Poe's Law, like it is like the way I think about it in my writing is it presents this problem of like, can I express like the absurdity of a situation without people think I'm endorsing it?
I think in writing you can, because I'm assuming you're talking about like fiction, because in your writing you can, because it's fictitious and this is your meaning and as a whole of your work.
Yeah.
It can be interpreted different ways, obviously, but like you obviously were trying to tell something, whether you did it successfully or not.
Well,
know.
Writ large, this is why a generation of young men misunderstood Fight Club or took the wrong
or The Matrix
or American Psycho or, you know, like there's a whole list of books. Yeah. That, well, even the old stuff, even fucking, you know, like the way nobody reads fucking Grapes of Wrath anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, now we have this stuff that's kind of more surface level and more like interactional, and nobody's really taken any real big swings lately. Except, I don't know, Kim Stanley Robinson, I'd say.
I would say, if it's not the writing's fault, because obviously your writing and art are meant to be interpreted, and clearly we don't have enough critical thinking skills to...
Well, you have varying levels of education, as well as the fact that there are 8.5 billion people.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting into, is like, you know, like, it's not the work's fault. It's it's the matter that we're humans and people have been thinking this way for a long time. You're not going to get shit.
Yeah. And that's writing is a little is different because there's intention and there is a lot of energy that is stored within that. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity with writing to make a point and make it very clear and concise with your available resources. If you're just shitposting online, like, nobody's going to even put the effort into making some sort of masterpiece of,
I don't know. I can think of about four.
You could be a masterpiece at shitposting.
Three of them are from Drill. So it's like, but the most recent one told us all that J.D. Vance was fucking couches.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Masterpiece. That's a brilliant piece of writing. Yeah. I love it.
I mean, oh, man. That's why we're talking about this.
That's why we're talking about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Because everybody knows it's not true. Yeah. But it's still like, but he has such couch fucking energy. You know, like I'm letting this wash over me the way the whole, like, you know, Kendrick Drake thing washed over me. I was just like, holy fucking shit. I can't believe what I'm seeing. It's like the planet hitting in Melancholia. I was like, oh.
Well, this brings it up to about, like, how this kind of can manipulate reality in a lot of ways of, I mean, I don't know, because Poe's Law is about, like, kind of not understanding sarcasm, like, when it, the impossibility of being able to, without human face to look at, being able to understand that something is sarcasm.
Yeah.
With J.D. Vance fucking a couch, it is that.
It's very X-Files. It's very I want to believe.
Well, I think one of the best... for this instance in particular, this example, the couch example in particular, one of the best ones that we came across, we were kicking around the other day in our production meeting, was the Werner Herzog concept of the ecstatic truth. The truth which, he says, transcends mere facts, or what he calls the accountant's reality.
Yeah.
The ecstatic truth can capture the human experience more faithfully, enabling people to have a deeper emotional connection with the meme.
Yeah.
Vibe.
Yeah, I mean, gestures toward all of religion. You know, like,
yeah, like it's
vibes, man.
You can dispute religion, but like most of the time it doesn't work out very well.
I don't know, man. I've seen people lose their minds in like church. You've seen footage of people at these weird evangelical snake dancing churches and shit. I'm not saying it's real. I'm saying they're high as fuck. Like, yes. They're enjoying this dance. They love the masses, guys. I think they're raves, man. I get it.
Well, I'm sure people on Quora were also the same. See, this is where my brain starts to like backfire, right? Because we're talking about that, but when you're talking about like just people online and you're infiltrating their like weird Nazi,
how much of this community is the internet's fault? That's what you're asking.
Hold on. This is where my brain gets fucked up. Is because with that, like, with satire is satire, right? There's art there, and whether you would understand it or not, or it goes over your head, but then we have you, soft rock, infiltrating someone's Nazi bullshit, and they don't understand. Well, I don't know, because you're like a clandestine agent, you know, like maybe they don't understand, like
freewheeling agent of chaos.
Yeah. What were you telling me the other day? There was like a guy that's like kind of a pseudo right wing influencer, and he tried to prove a point, and he actually linked you to something that proved your point. I mean, this is typical. Everyone who's ever tried to argue somebody online has done this. But
I was gonna say, like, here's the problem. It's like people just like they will just link the headline, like an article that has a headline that they think sounds like kind of like it's gonna back up what they say. Uh-huh. Yeah. Actually read the article, like, no, it doesn't at all. I can tell what they did. They saw like the headline and thought, oh, and maybe like the first paragraph, and saw a little bit of it and figured out like what it meant in the rest of the article from that. It's just like,
you gotta read this whole thing.
Oh my god, read it.
Have you ever met like an actual Christian? This is what they do. Like they do this constantly. They just live whatever.
I do this sometimes.
Literally everybody does it. Every human being does it.
This is literally Alex Jones's entire career.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, he'll print out entire articles, talk about the headline, and then there are so many instances where, like, that, say, the Knowledge Fight podcast has caught him on mic reading the fucking thing aloud and realizing, oh, shit, this just demolished my point.
And fuck it. Like, I would kind of flub things or stretch things a little bit to, in order to provide a source for some of my articles sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... Everybody does it. Like, it's a human thing, but
before
the commitment to that, like the commitment to doubling down is,
I think it ties into what we're saying about like shit going over people's heads is as an example of lack of critical thinking in like, different levels of education. Cause there's like, like you were saying, like how many millions, billions of us,
I mean, age.
Yeah. Age.
I don't think it's like evil. You know what I mean?
No, it's not.
If you're doing a nonfiction article, all right, you want to have citations and sources, and you want your sources to be good and solid and accurate, and you need to know
how
to find those things. You have to know what it takes. Like, you can't just be like, well, this was on
professionalism. Fucking, this is we're this talking is on about Yahoo just like
or Newsweek.com.
Yeah, we're talking like
that's this is the public fucking square. Like, exactly. It's in everyone's face.
This is just people.
Choose to subscribe to it if you want to, very interactive that way. And the whole time it's going to scream at you to like buy Viagra.
Right.
Or so something.
So I'm in the public square. I'm Joe Scumfuck and I have just read something online.
No real names.
Nope.
We have no names.
Excuse me, Cletus.
We are named.
And I just read an article. I just read, I don't know, some conversation online or like, I've seen, or, oh fuck, this is the other thing that makes my brain like the idea of like, AI shit and like boomers on Facebook think it's real. Like that's that's another level of this too.
Did you see the Swifties for Trump AI picture that he was showing people?
Oh my Jesus God. Christ. That was what I was going to, I have that one written in my notes here. I was like, are you being serious?
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Yeah.
Swifties. Listen, Swifties do whatever the fuck T-Swift tells them to.
We can only hope for such power.
Well, Trump is trying to
that's the one thing that was missing from that Civil War movie.
That's what set it off.
Cresting the hills.
That's what set it off. Just a bunch of
fucking Swifties with friendship bracelets and glow fucking bracelets. And
well, I think this ties into
heads on pikes.
This ties into two of this. It posts a lot of focuses more on like the idea of sarcasm, and we can bring it into satire, but there's just so much reality distortion in the internet of where we live and what we are exposed to.
Well, yeah. Like,
look at what passed as satire 30 years ago and look at what the headlines look like now.
Well, that's another point I wanted to bring up was like how The Onion has just managed to be on top of it this whole time, like the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah, like, it's like eventually, like, no matter how absurd you think you're going to be, reality is going to surpass it.
Yeah,
at some point.
So it seems. I would have never suspected.
When we started 20 out years ago. When we started like keeping up with The Onion, I knew we were in trouble. I was just like, look, you don't understand. These guys are the master of the form. Like this is literally the greatest print publication I think the United States of America has ever produced. I mean, it's better than any of them. Crack, Mad Magazine, any of them. Blows them out of the fucking water. Because there's never been a time where I've read any of their articles and didn't at least chuckle.
Yeah.
Like, their batting average is insane. Very good. And that's fucking hard to do.
Yeah.
Like, when I lived in Chicago, I walked by their offices a bunch like, I should go in there. Nah. Don't do it. Because I felt too friendly. I think that was the problem.
Yeah, definitely more of a cracked vibe at the time.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh, they
do. Well, going back to what you were saying.
If we're talking about how the internet acts as a lens to focus over this, when people start writing headlines to be extreme, they're going to get more clicks. More clicks is going to drive the entire model forward. So it's just it just makes it worse and worse.
Well, there's a good version of this that has existed and still exists to this day, even as an app. And that was Fark.com. Because like what the way it, a lot of people were like, they were more into Something Awful forums, and I was more like a FARC forum guy, but I didn't really post much. And the gist of FARC was that like you would go there and you would submit a headline from like your local news station or some like CNN.com, like back when that mattered, and et cetera, et cetera. And then you would write like an alternate headline for it. And they were frequently very funny, and they still are. Like there's still people there still holding it down, still, you know, submitting, but you would do it in, you know,
like a subscribe.
Well, yeah, it was kind of like a Reddit by tiers in a way, like Reddit kind of rip off FARC to a certain degree.
No, I mean, like have, when people write a new headline, like, oh, fixed it. This is what they're really saying. Fixed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. And they would have like headers and stuff like that. So, but if you had total FARC, there'd be like fucking say like 9/11 happens and now there's 11,000 of these things and you have to vote for the one that's going to get put up on the main page that people will see. You know, and it was a fun place. It was like a really cool time. And they did have like a bunch of people from all over the place, like different political leanings and stuff like that. And then eventually like people would become friends through resisting them online. And then it turned into like wrestling. It wasn't even that people hated each other. They were just like, oh, it's this asshole kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It was really weird. And I've never seen it replicated except maybe like in our Discord where like people are just not, you know, sniping for each other.
And yeah.
It's so exhausting. That's
you know, this
I,
may be
I just want to hang out with people online. I don't want to have to fucking like I don't even really know you. Why are
I don't want to read your pamphlet, buddy. I don't want to read your pamphlet.
Participant Shadowlink is having a problem.
I mean, when is he not, right?
Media recorder is not working as expected in
he looks. He's coming up okay for me. I don't see
him. Yeah, I got the alert. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Not working as expected. This sounds like a performance report. Jesus.
It's happening again. Okay, so what's going to happen here is I'm going to stop this recording but stay in this room. 3, 2, 1. Fucking Zencaster.
Again. Yep. Strikes yeah. again.
Every so time.
We lost actually, like 4 minutes of Shadowlink's audio, so we're
and it's always
up,
always
it's always
every time.
Actually,
no matter where he is.
Taking up too much.
What we're having map. Here, it looks like a DDoS attack. That's probably the EU, and
we're having a DDoS attack
right now.
Uh huh.
I'll tell you guys.
Okay, Mr. Musk.
Where's Chase Geyser?
In hell.
Oh my God. Anyway, yeah. So we had a DDoS attack from enemies of the Low Life podcast. Yeah. We're going to pick up here, kind of like, I don't know where the fuck we were talking about a long head ago, but a minute ago. And we're just going to, I don't know, Zero, bail me out here.
I don't know, just kind of riff more about it, I guess. Where we left off was just like how the internet has kind of like, I guess, supercharged the problem of Poe's Law, which is that, like, you know,
yeah,
I guess you can't have fun anymore. No,
I mean, kind of.
Well, the problem that I see with Poe's Law, with meta irony and things like that, is that it can be a shelter for people who really are shitty, and they just say, "What, you thought I was kidding? No, I wasn't serious."
The easy exit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah. Well, it's the Schrodinger's douchebag problem. It's I had a friend like this, and I'm sure many people did in high school. And you know, I'm from a small town, and I'm realizing more and more. You know, if you're born and raised in a small town, like you've been raised around fascism your whole life, pretty much. but. So and it's kind of dawning on me recently that, like, yeah, this guy, this friend of mine, he did not read Mein Kampf, ironically, even though he said he was, even though he said, you know, he wasn't wearing a German coat. Ironically, he was, this guy was, he's probably a fucking libertarian, gun owner, conspiracy theorist shithead.
I know what you're saying.
You read Mein Kampf the way the average dude wearing one of those like Irish hats in a coffee shop has read Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah. No, stuff like that'll hit me once in a while. Like I just found out the other day that Timothy McVeigh, the, you know, federal building bomber, would listen to Bad Company's Bad Company on repeat, and I was like, holy shit,
album,
I do
Company?
That. I do that a lot. So what does that mean?
Like, oh, man.
It threw me for a minute. It's a good song, and like it is one that I will listen to on repeat. I just didn't know that also Mad Bomber Timothy McVeigh did it.
Styx is Renegade is that song for me, in case anyone's going to need to know that later.
Good. Good, thanks.
But, you know,
coming back to what you were saying, Scum, about, you know, old people and, like, or specifically, like, religious people not really understanding what on the internet is real and fake is because, I mean, we live in an era of hyper reality at this point. Like, nobody knows what's fucking real. Like, even you and I don't know what's fucking real. Like, I mean, there's just so much bullshit out there at this point. Like, we could all be like, just like going on the course of this narrative that's completely unhinged from reality and not know it at all. But like,
yeah,
we just have to use our best judgment.
But that's the thing. Yeah, we have to use our best judgment. It's difficult when, I don't know, you can have a conversation, you're not sure.
Hold up a second. Softrack, I can hear you breathing, man.
Are you flirting with me?
No.
Move the mic back a little bit. It's getting steamy in here. Sorry.
I had to untie my sweats.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because when you're having a conversation with someone, you're kind of thinking, I go into most conversations, but then again, my bar of absurdity and what like is actually 100% correct is pretty odd and strange.
Yeah.
You know, I once started a conversation about like cloning people for cannibalism. So I'm not one, I'm not a good example of this. But when you're going into talking about the internet, you're expecting like, you know, the most batshit thing and you're not talking about it seriously. Or on the other end, you kind of have to assume this person is being 100% serious.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you're not, I guess it's situational, but what is on the internet?
In this case, tell me about your cannibalism plan. It sounds like a modern proposal.
No. It was something Warren Ellis was talking about at the time, and the idea of like, you know, scientists are cloning meat, so it's meat that never came off an animal. And I'm like, and you know, sure. I agree with Warren Ellis. What if you just did people meat? It's people that never came off a person, and what if people meat is the greatest meat of all, and we just don't know?
I am sure we are delicious. But
thank you, science.
Anyway.
Smells like bacon.
Anyway. You
know, one of these. No. Let's get back to this really quick. Like, or really quick, right? Like, so, like, all of the things, like, your parents tell you, like, oh, don't do this, don't do that. It turns out it's really fucking awesome. Maybe the whole laughing sickness thing is just some, like, they're just trying to, like, discourage it. Maybe human meat really is fucking amazing.
Yeah, what's a little prion disease?
I definitely believe we definitely should try it.
Big prion is trying to get you to not eat the meat.
It's big prion.
No, it's the brains. You're not supposed to eat the brains. The rest of the meat is fine.
Yeah, but what if the brains are the best part?
Ta-da, this is Poe's Law.
Brains. This is how we summon Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Start eating the brains.
I gotta remember that one.
There has to be a DMT trip. Like that has to give you like a crazy DMT trip. Mm. But anyways.
Anyway,
what are you talking about? Eating Joe Rogan?
No. Well, that's another example of Poe's Law, because like I don't want to say anything that's legally actionable, but the point is like we could say satirically we should 100% eat Joe Rogan. You don't know if I'm joking. I'm not,
that's the problem. None of us want to go to Texas.
No, absolutely. We'll never. No. Thank you. I don't want to go to Texas.
I don't want to be driven in a comfortable car.
Yeah, not after the last time, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Best I keep out of that.
The Law Life podcast. Why did we talk? The Law Life podcast has never eaten anyone. Anyway.
but yeah, so I mean, and it's
to completion.
I don't know. Maybe like the older you get, like the less like sensitive you are to sensing bullshit. Or
I mean, maybe, but it's maybe also.
Actually, well, I think that's a great point.
Well, or maybe it's just
elaborate, please.
Well, no, there was this book by Harry Frankfurt. He was like this philosopher. I don't know where he was from, Harvard or something. He wrote this fantastic book, and I heard about it on like the Daily Show back when it was good, I guess. Yeah. And his book was this treatise called On Bullshit, and it's fantastic. You can find it online. It's like 50 pages. It's totally fucking worth reading. Right, maybe 80 pages. I have the audiobook version of it, and I'll spin it into my sets every now and again because it's really good. And his whole thing is like, okay, so like you have the honest person, basically. and they'll tell you the truth. They're going to the best of their ability. They're playing in good faith. They're trying to solve a problem. They're trying to help you. Okay. Then you have the liar that at least cares about the truth enough to avoid it. But then there's that third thing that we haven't quite gotten our brains around as a society yet, the bullshitter. Because like whenever we say someone say something true, they're like, well, they must be honest. No, the bullshitter will use both.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because they just want you on their side. They're trying to scam you. They're trying to get your attention.
Yep.
And like that's fucking on, you know, most politicians, definitely Trump.
And they don't always care about consistency.
No, consistency doesn't matter at all. Oh my God. And look at all of the things that like have caused right wing outrage in the last, say, 20 years.
Okay, but what is
those people? Those people are on the internet too. Like,
yeah, like what's the average age? Well, I guess because now I'm curious about age, and you make an interesting point about those three tiers, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a generational thing or is it like,
well, it's like experience.
Like, well, yeah, like, well, Soft Rock, at a guess, as someone who has explored out of, you know, curiosity, these extreme views of like internet people, like, could you even make a guess on the age of, like, people you interacted with?
All ages. But insanely enough, like, it's always people around, like, my age. I used to, like, always think of people my age as being, like, adults and having, like, responsible views and just having, being, like, attached to reality. Now it's just, like, it's people, well, even, like, my age. it's within, like, it's, like, 10 plus my age. I'm 45, right?
I think.
So it's, like,
Yeah, I was going to say responsible views and reality are both subjective, but I understand. Yeah.
It's just, like, well, you know, how I grew up, like, in the 80s. Like, how, like, the you know, anybody like sitcom, like that, like just a family like that or whatever, just something like, even like that is like more real than this shit. I mean, it's just everybody's just on this choose your own adventure or like bullshit of reality.
Yeah.
Just going through like the news and like watching just the news that you want in that perspective and thinking it's everybody else except for me.
Well, that's everybody else is crazy.
Yeah. Like, you're all, all doing it. All doing it.
This goes back to the thing that I've said many times. Like, it used to be when we were younger, like, it was generally accepted that Nazis were bad. And now there's like an argument around that. So,
Both
sides is.
That's the echo chamber. That's the argument of the echo chambers, because now we have, and you're right, it is both sides. And I'm even guilty of doing this myself, is like, you know, it's the idea of like, you can just tailor now your input, considering like a lot of the news that we get, unfortunately, is from,
you can think things that shared.
Words are meaningless.
Words are meaningless. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can think that you are, like, you have the most rational and sane point of view because you are constantly being fed information that is bolstering and giving, like, the confirmation bias there.
Well, we're talking about ourselves too. This is, it's like we're doing it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're absolutely like, we're demonstrating our problem.
Yes. You know, exactly.
It's like that thing that Captain Beatty said to Guy Montag in Fahrenheit 451, that whole idea of like, we'll just fill them full of facts, you know, give them a sense of motion without moving. Yeah. They don't know how anything works, but they know all the statistics of their favorite sports teams. You know what I mean? Like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And it's fine, but that's why I even fucking, like, to this day, like, I'll bug out if a fucking RPG gets too complicated. Y'all, you want me to do all kinds of resource management? I'm bleeding. I guess I'm bleeding out and deleting this motherfucker. That's what's happening.
I was going to use the example of, it's the idea, too, of, like you were saying about, like, how hyper-specific things are and how, I don't want to say echo chambery, but like the point, I mean, I guess that's what it is, but.
What the fuck is wrong with that?
Like, yeah, I know you're right.
It does every space you have to occupy have to contain a certain percentage?
Well, you need to have some validation, but at the same time, like, if that's all you're exposed to, then, you know, well, that brings
me back. Dude, I don't want to see Nazis at the church fair when I'm trying to get a sausage sandwich.
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to say, though, is like, you know, the older people, the boomers, and the people who can't quite tell the difference between reality and fiction on the internet is because, I mean, look at the people who are buying into this shit. It's always the same kinds of people who are being pulled deeper and deeper and like, or pulled further over on, you know, the Overton window shit. You know, it's like, it's a sort of cult of ideology that, you know, these people are feeding into until eventually like their reality is, their perception of reality is completely divorced from what yours is.
And I'm not going to blame the internet entirely for that, because we've been doing that for a long time.
I mean, well, we're watching the crumbling of a 2,000 year old religion.
Yeah, we could talk about that for a while. Like, that's
so when you get that, like
the internet's definitely like a it's definitely divides people. It brings people together, but it's got a really bad,
very dark side to it.
Yes. I think it comes down to, again, of one's ability to think, like critically think and think of, like, be able to, oh, words, what even are they? To be able,
internet society and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
Thank you.
I don't know where that came from.
There was that one too, that a tool held differently is a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, this is one of those rare instances. Well, like, I'm not one of those people that like the gun is evil. Like, there are definitely legitimate.
No, but it's like, if you can't understand satire, you're not going to understand, like, because again, it does tie into that, right? Of being unable to. God, my brain is in the Gordian knot again, guys.
Jesus Christ, I'm the one that took the tincture. What the fuck?
So,
I guess my point is, the reason that you have people who can't, like, shit. Oh man, I had
God damn, you guys.
And you know what? I'm not even high. Like,
I'm hot. Like, I did not. I'm able to speak. What the fuck?
I have brain damage. That's my excuse. There you go.
Wow. I may have brain damage. I don't know yet.
One of our best episodes.
This is us. This is us getting back into podcasting only after 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. That was a really big break there. Anyway,
please.
Soft Rock, what you got?
Three things that did not happen.
Okay.
That wasn't what the official narrative, what it was. All right. 9/11, the Challenger, and the Holocaust.
Oh, man.
Is that one of your Quora questions?
Wow.
No, but it should be. Just three of the most horrible, like, things, whatever. Well, leading it up, well, like, the saying is kind of like a ridiculous one, but, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, because
kind of get it set up.
Because facts, you know, it's like you could spout the truth to anybody and they would still like debate you on these things.
Well, and
yeah, my God,
oh, man, if we're, we could just talk for hours too about just the way that things are phrased, even in something that you would see as clinical and sterile, like a fucking, I don't know, a medical report or a front page news or something. Like the wording, like, the difference that
between local and like national news, like if you watch the two shows, there is journalism on the local level usually.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you look at the difference between like left news and liberal news and conservative news, and they'll report on the same story, but they'll be saying two completely different things, even though they saw the same thing.
They'll accentuate the wrong shit.
That's just business, baby.
Well, I was going to say, it's even worse than that, because some papers will print different headlines for the same story in different markets too.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially like internationally, but like even in like state by state, city by city, you know, you'll see that depending on like what the core, like the voting core or whoever owns the paper in the city is. You know, DC's been watching the slow decline of the fucking Washington Post since Bezos bought it.
God.
Yeah. I think I do know what you're trying to say though, because it's the idea of information that is not up for interpretation. This is a report. This is what we saw. And unless the person who wrote it is just straight up lying, is just unreputable and lying to you, the idea is like, well, this is the report. This is what happened.
Okay, the big boat in the Suez Canal was faked.
Sure.
No, I had too much fun with that. That has to be.
Oh, man. You know what I mean? Like, there's information that is, you kind of can't dispute it because I'm like, no, this is what happened. There are multiple witnesses, you know.
There's a lot of people asking real hard about it and trading notes and taking criticism.
Yeah. But then, you know, because reality is subjective and turns out you could just say, nah. I don't know if that falls under the idea of Poe's law, because it's like, there's no sarcasm there. It's just a matter of piece of shit.
It's like the phenomena that leads you to the place where like nothing has meaning.
Yeah.
You know, the idea.
I think that's where we're careening.
When you I mean, kayfabe is just another word for hyper reality, basically, in terms of how things are presented.
It's the act, it's the act, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Media. And it's just like, it's like a step past sarcasm is kayfabe, because that's what lies beyond.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. Yeah. Because, you know, when you're being sarcastic, you're exaggerating. And then when you're committed to the exaggeration, that's when you get into your kayfabe, your improv, your acting. Yeah.
Why do you think you have so many people who kind of like started off making fun of certain ideas, like, you know, certain punk rock founding bands that shall not be named, start off making fun of, you know, the conservatives, and then they end up fucking being the conservatives eventually.
No, what's interesting is it's in the Bible, that line about how, like, if you
or fucking South Park, you know, like
the hero lives long enough,
Stone and Trey Parker,
villain. That was in the New Testament.
Isn't
that Batman?
Yeah, it's Batman.
Well, that was my brain immediately went to, like, you know, like like Salvador Dali or like other types of artists where it's like you kind of become the art. You start being the thing, and where you start and where your art begins becomes blurred.
Duchamp, Andy Warhol, these people become the art, become the performance.
Yeah. It becomes a performance. Would that be considered a form of satire, or is that basically a lifestyle?
I don't know. What's that lady, the artist is present? Where, like, the thing is, like, you sit across from her and she just stares into your fucking face.
Right.
I don't remember. I think that's less
it's
satire and more just embodying the thing. Like, that's just a reflection of your mind.
Well, talking about embodying, soft rock, soft cock. Can you
see?
I did it. There. Now we can now we can move on. I said that.
Oh, got it.
Because you were saying before, while we were having technical difficulties, about like an AI thing that you did, like as someone who's trying to embody his art, the bit.
I've really gotten way too into it lately. I really have. It's really bad because every horrible, just whatever, just crazy.
Well, like, example? Yeah, because wasn't there an example you used where, like, hey, I'm collecting information to make like an AI model or some bullshit?
Yeah. So, like, some people, like, I've.
So once these people who've betrayed you have called you out.
Yeah, they've kind of like called me out or whatever.
Like, I mean, it's AI.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, well, I'm collecting this. Well, you know, like, I don't know why you're doing this or whatever, but what I'm doing is I'm collecting information for AI. Like, I'm collecting, like, figuring out, like, what words and phrases and in what phrase, what, like, you know, order or whatever will get like, the biggest reaction. And then be able to, like, insert another AI to, like, comment and just keep it going and going and egging everybody every perspective. But with the intent of influencing and getting people to like believe something, even if it's totally wrong, and that'll actually get you believing it more. I tell people this and I'm just like, yeah, and I'm doing it for like an unnamed third party, like country or third country or whatever.
Which developer do you work for again?
I'm trying to make it out like, yeah, I'm just fucking around. Like, yeah, like I'd be selling this shit to like Russia, whatever, so they could do it. But I'm like, I'm thinking like, it's actually very, very fucking plausible.
Absolutely.
I'm honestly surprised. I haven't had a visitor or anything like that because
you're explaining it to me, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I could do a lot of bad things with it because I already got like ins with the biggest conservative influencers and stuff like that. I can create like 10 different accounts and have a bunch of people like playing it up or whatever, and it'd be all the AI and they're just commenting. The more I have views or whatever, the more it gets viewed and viewed. The whole algorithm gets itself. Yeah.
Let me go ahead and cut you off there for a second because OpenAI came out, I think, yesterday and admitted that we had to nix a bunch of Iranian accounts because turns out they're using large language models to influence our media.
I'm not even kidding.
What you're describing?
So the description of what I've been saying is basically for a third party country or whatever, like Iran or Russia or something like that, to like actually do it with their AIs. Like, I
and what you're
I
saying, like
all the shit.
What you're saying, like, you're not actually doing. That's the other.
No. I just fucking just totally fucking around with people, just telling them like that's
you
what I'm
fucked
doing.
Me. You got me.
What I want to know is what I want to say is when you give them the reveal like that. Is it like that moment in Fight Club where it's like, which car company do you work for again? A major one. which software developer do you work for again? But no, are they upset? Or are they like, okay, whatever.
Some people have just been like, ah, fuck you, whatever. No, I don't think anybody's like thought like, man, he's totally talking about a fucking foreign nation or whatever. This is pretty bad. This is kind of like what's happened before.
I think it's because everyone kind of like knows AI kind of sucks, except the example, very scary example you just gave, Zero, about like, you know, Iran influencing our media.
I don't know how you could train it, but...
Look, Alex Jones, like for a while, but even like more recently, has been telling people, it's like, yeah, go to Russia. It's better there in case
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. In case
Kamala wins, like you should move to Russia. And there's this fucking story that just came out about a family who did that and lost everything.
I fucking
bet.
Instantly.
Fuck them.
Like they brought their savings over and it got stuck in the banks. And so they got stuck sitting in this holding facility with the family for like, and some evangelical family with like fucking 5 or 7 kids.
I read the headline about that. I didn't actually click on it, the link or whatever. I just thought like, wow.
Yeah.
That is so like.
There's only two parts so far, but they're up. Like this person's writing updates for this article about
when you make someone believe something.
Yeah. They thought they were going to go over there and buy a farm.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like when you say something enough, people believe it. And clearly, I don't know. I don't want to talk about that fucker. He probably doesn't fucking believe in anything except like, you know, the moths that live in his head. But it's when you say something enough times, it eventually like people will make it their reality. And clearly that's not true. Yeah. What he's saying isn't true. They went there and lost everything.
Yeah.
And it becomes like, and that's where, I don't know if we're going to be, I think this is like still Poe's law or beyond it. It's when everything is essentially where now we're entering the scam territory. We're entering where satire becomes the grift.
Well, there's like one more little thing. Going back to Fark.com, the guy, Drew Curtis, the guy that founded it, he wrote a book that's actually pretty interesting. And there was this one time, there's one part of it that is called Equal Time for Nut Jobs. And I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but like this really applies here. And this is like how we got to this point. Before Reagan got rid of the equal time doctrine, there was like a fairness. You know, you would have like Gorvidal and what's his face arguing with each other, you know, about left wing, right wing stuff.
Yeah.
And it would be on ABC and it would be a thing that you stayed home for. Then you just get to this point where if you have an expert in the field, and you put them on the left side of the screen. Okay. They're a professor and they've also led like major archaeology digs that have like shown us buried items that are ineffable, like things that aren't it's not like, we think that this is something. No, we know what this is and it's fucking nuts. We didn't think it existed. And then like to the right, they'll just put at the equal height, equal focus, equal distance, everything, equal zoom, the aliens guy. And just based on their position and you as a receiver of this, watching this on television, you see them and they're given equal weight. And it kind of massaged us into this point where you can get somebody like a fucking Russell Brand skimming articles and like talking mad shit about things or, you know,
and because of Alex Jones's.
We literally just
talked about, you know, skimming, looking at headlines and skimming articles and shit.
That's how you get to that. That's that sense of motion without moving, how you get to sound smart without actually being smart. You don't have And the thing is, the pool is dog shit right now. Like there isn't a lot of journalism that's like worth fucking reading on like the national level. Like Guardian
between us and say, you know, a true believer in AI or Elon Musk. Oh God, that guy. Like the difference between that is that like we don't, I know that the headlines might be bullshit. It's entertaining to read them sometimes.
Well, that's the point.
But like, I don't have the fucking time to sit. I mean, I do really to sit down and read the stuff, but I don't want to. Okay.
Not every article. No, I get your point.
Yeah.
So
You got a life to lead, man. Like, yeah,
all this time. So, hey, yeah, this thing affirms my worldview. Okay, I'll just move on. You know, I'll just internalize and move on. But I'm not going to dredge it up and bring it into an argument, you know.
Yeah, unless I've got the doors of the White House or the Congress, you know, on a cold day in January.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's another thing, too, as far as, like, you know, the truth being malleable and as it connects to conspiracy theory and everything. I love consuming conspiracy theory, but I don't really share it, like, rarely.
Yeah. You don't.
It's fascinating. Yeah. It's always been fascinating. Exactly. Ever since fucking Art Bell, man. Art Bell is what, like, made me interested in this stuff and all, like, the weird New Age writings. But I got lucky because I got, like, Robert Anton Wilson, and I didn't get fucking Logan.
I'm not using
believe nothing.
I'm not using a fucking conspiracy theory as a way to, you know, give myself fucking main character, like, protagonist syndrome,
right?
You
know, I'd like to meet Mothman Bigfoot, but, you know, I don't know if that's...
Okay, so JFK was an inside job. What the fuck does it matter? Who cares? Like, what difference does it make?
I'm with you on that. Like, what would it change at this point? Like, nothing at all.
Yeah. But then, you know, you got these fucking...
You get the satisfaction.
Armchair fucking...
What I do think would
matter... Intellectual neckbeards who are like...
I'm sorry. I got to cut you off here. All right. I don't. This is a very, very good, like, point or whatever. This is, like, something very, very deep and important to me.
I lost mine. So.
We have to figure out what happened to the Challenger. Seriously. Who? Because there were gaskets and they were leaked.
Mormons.
Listen,
we got to figure out who loosened the bolts or whatever. Because
it was the Mormons.
Did you see that meme I made the other day?
Yeah.
It was RFK.
Yeah. And I totally believe that because Zero posted that in the Discord. And
it's that easy.
Yeah.
True.
Everything on there. Remember, I remember when I was, like, still in school and you could still use, like, you weren't allowed to use the internet as a source at all. Okay. Yeah. And that was when there was, like, fucking 12 websites. You know what I mean? You know, like, three of them were encyclopedias. And they were like, but, no, you got to go find the book.
But. Like, here's another thing to consider. Pre-internet media was really, like, there was a locked down. There was a consolidated narrative in this country, at least.
Yeah, unless you went to a library. Like,
there's a lot of fucking inaccurate shit in
a lot
of old encyclopedias.
Sure. Like,
I've heard that Wikipedia is more accurate than a lot of encyclopedias.
I think you're both correct because because I keep thinking about, like, people's, it keeps coming back in my mind about people's ability to comprehend or to, like, you know, like, basically really think about
information overload.
And well, it's interesting because if we remove the internet from what we're talking about, we just go back to book research. You're limited to what is in your vicinity, and you're limited to what's in your library. Unless you go to a good library, then your resources expand. But I think it still would come back to your ability to, like, cross-reference and see if something is true. And, like, okay, is this mode of thinking outdated, or is this something new information? Has this been disproven? And unless you're doing like we did, like research papers and shit, Joe Cletus Scumfuck isn't going to do any of that.
No relation to you, though, right?
Well, no relation.
And the thing about that that's even worse is that ever since, you know, fucking Clinton's Telecommunications Act of 96 deregulated all of that shit, and you get your Sinclairs buying up entire markets.
Yeah.
You know, small towns are getting destroyed because they're linked to the nearby major city's weather report and not their usual old local one that would tell them a tornado was coming.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that, like, it's, if you're going to, like, the fountain for water and all the water is shit, it's not necessarily your fault for being thirsty.
I mean, that's true too, but, like, kind of the point, like, Soft Rock was making, where it's like, I mean, hey, we have all this information about, like, you know, I don't know, the Challenger, like you were saying, here's what happened. Here's what we think has happened. Or it could be anything. It could literally be anything. It's like, it may not even be a conspiracy. It might actually be just like the events of, like, I don't know, Sandy Hook. How about that?
Yeah.
We know what happened.
Yeah.
But then you could just say, nah.
Yeah. Or like the Uvalde is a great example. Cause there's all that footage of just the cops, like, stacking up and not going in while this kid's just fucking mowing down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be something that's like,
people will see that and be like, false flag. People will see the post from the kid that took a shot at Trump and be like,
"How does that go into like Poe's law? Like, how like does that?"
Well, that's like the other side of it. That's like, okay, Poe's law hits the lens and gets inverted and is projected backwards upon the wall, because like that's where you've become the solipsist. You've become like, I get to say, like, this is what I've experienced. And you think that's the most important thing. And on one level, you know what? It fucking is, because all you have are your senses, and that's what's, you know,
but that doesn't make you dominate
the world around you. Right. That's the trick. You got to come to terms with the fact that there's 8.5 billion other versions of that with complete, like an entire fucking universe of experience.
And that is a good way to bring it all the way back to my point that I forgot earlier. So, you know, you'll notice with, like, I mean, it's, you know, it's not just boomers. It's not just old people who can't, you know, tell the difference between.
Dude, it's like Garfield meme. It's like Garfield meme. Like, no one's immune from propaganda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But like,
I'm not.
But nobody is. That's very true. But like, you have to have a certain sense of self-awareness, because I think the people that we're talking about, you know, these people who are walking around with little jars of horse cum.
Oh, God.
I thought we were going to escape it.
Let me real-time fact check you. That's not what that is about.
Okay.
It's worse.
Yeah. Because I thought that too. But you set me straight on this. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what it is they're walking around with what they purport to be little jars of J.D. Vance's cum.
Oh, God.
It's not even the worst part. The worst part is they're doing this because that Tim Walz and his wife had to conceive through IVF.
Oh my God.
And so they're saying that, like, look at how virile old Beardy McEyeliner is over here fucking the couch.
So like they got their red hats, they got their little white badges on their patches on their ear, they got their little semen cuffs. They really love prop comedy, don't they?
That's like, a fucked up thing to do.
Don't you guys know that prop comedy died with Carrot Top? Like,
God,
it wasn't even that funny with him, it was just the delivery. Like,
there's something to be said about
that's Poe's law right there. They don't know what the fuck they're doing, and they don't know how it comes off, and they don't care.
Yeah.
That's what's... Like,
I know. Yeah. The reason you have people like that is because they keep buying into this thing that, you know...
A reaction is funny, not laughter. A reaction.
Yeah. It's...
They don't understand when you see a particularly beautiful kill in a John Woo movie and chuckle. It's not because you think it's funny. It's because that was the only random sudden emotion available to you in the moment.
Okay, Shadowling, finish your thought.
Sorry. Well,
the reason you have these kinds of people is because they are so wrapped up in basically having just main character syndrome and thinking that, you know, they're always fucking right. Mm-hmm. And they believe that their perception of reality is their own. They have complete control over it, and they know what's real. And they keep getting fed information through, you know, the internet or whatever media. It could be fucking Fox News or anything, or religion. Anything that reinforces what they were already programmed to believe. They never question it because they think that it's right.
Well, now I get to insert some occultism, because unfortunately their perception is their reality.
It's
all subjective anymore. Everything is just like subjective reality. You choose your own adventure. You watch your own news. You've like only listen to like certain people. Like, you create your own like world out of it.
Filter.
Yeah, it's like a mission, whatever. Like, I don't believe this. This is obviously a lie. Blah blah blah. And then they think that, like, because they're like cutting all this stuff out, they don't like realize that by doing that they're going directly into somebody's arm, that somebody wants them to like believe all this shit.
Yeah,
and it's just I mean, it's not even. It's just a completely like just subjective reality.
You know, because these people have such deeply embedded views that were imposed upon them, but they would tell you that they, you know, they sorted it out themselves.
Sure.
Because they believe so deeply in this, their ability to see bullshit, I think, erodes. That's why they don't this is why a lot of people, religious people, don't understand sarcasm or satire. This is why a lot of, you know,
look,
and
You know, they need to see the life of Brian, okay? And that'll tell you everything you need to know about him.
This is why, you know, my grandma, if my, like, if she saw, you know, my niece put, like, an AI-generated picture of, like, a pony up on her Facebook or something, and my grandma would totally believe it's real, you know? Yeah. Like,
well, your grandma...
because she's, like, fucking... She's a very religious woman.
Yeah, but I'm like two, maybe three eyeglass prescriptions away from that being a problem for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as we get older too, you know, it's also it also depends on how much you're exposed to. Because it's again, like it's
we should
this
emphasize
is all
whatever
about
comes
like
in the future,
exposure and
yeah.
what
yeah,
you
yeah.
kind like the information that you bring in to your life and how you incorporate that into your existence.
I can't even comprehend what we're going to be like looking at and thinking, oh shit. And then the youngs are going to be like, you fucking idiot.
You know, it's funny. My image is so fucking antiquated, but I always, we talked about this like in high school and shit. It's like, yeah, man, we're going to be rolling around.
Yeah.
With, like
yeah.
electric wheelchairs and a subwoofer thumping. Like it was a good day. You know, like at the nursing home, just hip hop coming out of the bottoms of wheelchairs and shit.
That's gonna happen.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm gonna be listening to like Ministry and Nails. And
yeah, or whatever. And like, you're gonna have like goth paint on your face and shit. You know,
no like, one's gonna be like, "What the fuck, old man?" I'm like, "What?"
I'm like, "Oh, you were into the Cure? All right, cool."
I'm just gonna be blasting Pretty Hate Machine, and they're gonna be like, "What the fuck?" Or they're into it. I don't know. The point.
That's gonna be some soft shit for the kids.
Well, our brains get softer as we grow, so things are gonna be like. I guess that is another the interesting point is like, you know, is it an age thing or are we just like?
I think it really depends on how much
it's a combo. I think it's
how much bullshit that you're exposed to, or just what kinds of information you're exposed to, you know, and how you incorporate that into your life. If you have a complete narrative about how Trump is not a rapist and not a complete criminal, and you have that very securely locked into your head, you're going to immediately refute any information that tells you otherwise.
The problem is, they're not going to fall for the Antichrist. Clearly.
Because they're Christians. They're evangelicals. So
you need to have a certain level of inquisitiveness that just some people don't have. You have to have more inquisitiveness than you have like comfort in your knowledge. And just some people that are not interested in that.
Well, I think comfort is a very good word because I think that's a lot of the reason why we have this.
That's why nostalgia is so powerful.
Because, you know, we made a certain portion of America very comfortable for the past 40 years. And now that's starting, like, it's been falling apart for like the last 20. And they can't. Cannot fathom like the horrible reality of everything. It's literally like looking into the face of Cthulhu for them. You know, if they stare at it for more than a second, they'll go insane.
It's that thing too, where like, okay, so
I'm half fucking insane.
Well, their parents
stare at this shit.
Their parents made it through the Depression,
yeah,
and so they live their lives where like. Everything was this perfect balance that gave them the house and the fence and the 2.5 kids and the dog and the, I think the thing I've unearthed just from hanging out with people my entire life, especially, you know, boomers, has been that if you just hold position like this and you don't move your hand and you don't move at all, everything will stay exactly the way it is. And it's awesome. I mean, it's just this maintenance of the status quo that like gave them what they had, and then instinct or desire to pass it on or like spread it around or anything. Yeah. And then in the meantime, everything around them was getting more expensive, but they were fine because they had this like interest-earning nest egg.
Yeah,
and it's like I gave up at 18 thinking I was going to retire. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they had that shit locked down.
Well, then you get comfortable enough to get like, you know, talk to someone like Soft Rock on Quora, and like. You know, espouse the worst thing you ever heard of,
and that's
utter seriousness.
Peace is such an unnatural, like, state for a human being to live in their entire life.
Yeah. Most of us don't experience war, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
The vast majority of us do not. Like, we are not at the front lines.
Well, like, war is also of man-made. Like, the whole idea of the fucking American dream and the suburbs and the house and the white picket fence and shit. Like, that's that idea is, like, that's man-made, but so is war, is what I'm saying.
Okay, let's let's bring it back.
But so Poe's law would basically be Iraq has weapons of mass destruction.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. I tied it together.
Good job.
I expect criticism for that statement.
Yes.
Wait, but what? No, don't have any criticism about that statement, because when you tried to criticize that statement back in 2003, people didn't like it.
Yeah. You know what I found out? Okay, RIP to a real one. Fucking Phil Donahue from
Dayton. Right.
He just passed. He was 88 years old. A lot of people remember him for the goofy glasses and the weird, like, interviews and stuff that he would have. And he wasn't always
great. Inventing the talk show. I mean, not inventing, basically, but modernizing into the 80s, the talk show.
Yeah. Without him, you'd have,
no Jerry Springer.
Copies. Yeah. No Morton Downey Jr.
Montel Williams.
Shit. Right. And whatever Oprah became. I did not know this. And I just found this out. He got fired from MSNBC in, I think, 2003 because he was against the war in Iraq.
Yeah, that checks out. That's 100% something that can happen to you.
And that's the thing a lot of folks like don't remember or weren't there for. It's just the idea that both sides were like pro-war. Well, and this is baffling to me. They did nothing to do with this, like based on any of the fucking information you've given us.
What are you doing? What I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about with.
Wait, Soft Rock, what was that?
I was going to say, like, something I just kind of thought was kind of funny. It's like, you taught these people now, the right Republicans, whatever they are now. I have no idea. Like, crazy populists, whatever.
Yeah.
But they just kind of like, they're all about make America great, blah, 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 Republican, everything. And they kind of forget that, like, these forever wars, it was them. They started it. Like, Obama, he was just like, he became pretty much the actual compassionate conservative.
Right.
Where he just put a better, a nicer face on basically Bush policies. But they've all like, now they just kind of like forget that. It's like, now the Democrats just like adopted like their policies and just made it a little nicer. It's all there. So they completely forget that shit.
Obamacare was Romney care. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it didn't give you insurance. It made it illegal for you to not have access to insurance.
They just drone strike people and just call it peace, and
not tell you about Gitmo. Remember when you said you're going to close Gitmo? Yeah, man.
Yeah. No, totally.
Good Lord.
Right. God.
All right. Is there anything else? I think we're sufficiently fried.
Shit, I had a point.
Oh, go ahead.
I think we traced through pretty well, though. Yeah, no, I'm satisfied. What do you got there, Shadow Man?
Ah, shit. I'm trying to bring it back to my brain. Oh, that's another thing that I want another point, like, back in 2003, 2004, the internet didn't have as much of a chokehold on the public or like the broad imagination of, humanity. But the fact that somebody could get fired for being opposed. And I do remember that time. And I remember it being really weird that we all really wanted to go to war.
It was weird.
Yeah. And kind of bashy and like
emotional time.
And you're not supposed
to
say anything about the military.
I just saw a bit come up
or like critical
Instagram talking about how like these were the songs that were banned like the next day.
Yeah.
Like 9/12 and stuff. It's like everything by Rage Against the Machine. And then all this other weird stuff that was just like a Billy Joel song here.
We don't fucking talk about that enough, about how media in this country was, a fucking bottleneck for a long time. Now that everything is unregulated on the internet, we get a lot of shit. Yeah, we get a lot of AI generated shit, but like we're hearing things now that have never been brought to the public eye because it wasn't going to bring in money.
And now it's bringing in mad money on shit like Spotify and none of the artists are getting paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking Death Grips, man. Like,
man, come on. Poe's law. Right? Basically, to sum up, watch what, like, I don't know, just be conscious of how you post. If you have a purpose to post. You know what I mean? If you know, if you're just on Facebook doing an update, being like, "Hey, yeah, you know, I finally got a manscaping kit," that's fine. You can do that. But if you know, I haven't actually, I it popped into my head because now the NOS is mixed with the tincture, and I can
guess
see.
What your phone is going to advertise to you tomorrow.
NOS tincture. You get a heart attack.
Manscaping kits. Manscaping. Yeah.
I just want to get like have it all fall off, like just all of it. I don't want to deal with it anymore because I hate cleaning the drains.
This is maybe for a different
podcast.
Yeah, let's.
I want to look like NoHo Hank from Barry. I think
anyway,
thank you,
Little Rock, for being
Soft Rock.
Soft Little Rock. Gee,
Little Rock is in
Little Rock. Did you just call him Little Rock?
Oh, my brain.
Damn. Yeah, thanks for hanging out, Soft Rock. Yeah, it was good talking to you. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you for giving us your insight on the strange and wild world.
We'll have you back for internet. Something fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Say, we might have Soft Rock back. There's a really great story about a gang of teenage counterfeiters.
Oh, sweet.
may or may not have been the subject of a federal investigation that would be really interesting to talk about in this
I'd love
dawn of the digital about. Age. In the dawn of the digital age, the late 90s.
That, wow, okay, yeah. Way to hype that shit. All right.
There's a story to unpack.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here for our warm-up episode from after a hiatus.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and congratulations if you made it to the end.
Yes. Good job.
yes, dear listener.
Yes, there will be, in fact, a episode about the telephone by the end of the year. I just want to remind you, I haven't forgotten about it, but I am very close to a couple of libraries right now.
It hovers in the backs of our minds.
Yes, constantly. It is always in our hearts.
The research of Damocles.
Forever within grasp, dread. Out of reach.
It's a lot.
And and next episode, in a week or two here, we're going to be talking about the Francis Ford Coppola 1974 masterpiece, The Conversation.
Conversation. Okay.
And I am excited to expose the youngins to this. And this is.
Are we not going to do that knockoff Italian film?
Oh, we will.
Oh, thank God!
Yeah. We're getting into spooky season, so we're going to have a lot of fun here. But this one in particular is very, very interesting because it was kind of like this is like it wasn't the first movie that talked about some sort of all-seeing eye panopticon surveillance state shit. Like you know that goes back to like modern times. You know, with fucking Charlie Chaplin and shit, the machine that saw everybody working. But like this was almost like watching Coppola come to terms with the fact of what the future was going to be like. Hmm. And it's an amazing piece of noir, which I know is going to be Shadowlink's wheelhouse.
Hell yeah.
But the audio is important. So if you get a chance to listen to it with headphones on, do that.
Okay.
And buckle the fuck up. It's a good time. I got nothing else.
Yeah. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/neondystopia, in case you didn't hear it the first time. If you would like to drop us a dollar, it helps us pay our writers. Go on neondystopia.com, where we post new and fresh fiction twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
Really appreciate you. Thank you so much. Thank you for reading. Thank you, writers, all of our wonderful, wonderful writers for, you know,
yeah, you guys are sending us some good-ass shit.
The quality's insane. You're all wonderful.
Yeah, you guys, like...
Thank you for taking...
thank you for choosing
us. Yeah! I was fully expecting... It's like, who are these... Like, the fact that people actually take this seriously and what we do and what we want to do and the fact that, like, you deem us worthy to publish your hard work.
And honestly, makes me immensely proud. Fucking pennies.
Mm-hmm.
For your work.
I wish I could give you much more.
Yeah, we want to get to that point.
Well, again, step one, visit the Patreon. Step two, ... Step three, more fiction.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
And okay, before I hit the stop button, one more thing.
Find us on the Discord.
Find us on the Discord. There should be a link.
Join us.
And one last thing, it's a free plug. Guess who's back? Host in the shell. Yeah. I'm gonna have to hit them
here
up.
Here, I thought you were gonna say Shady's back.
But... no, host the show. We'll listen to them. They're wonderful. They're friends of the pod. They're great guys, and I'm really glad they're back.
Yeah, they were busy for you're putting books out, being busy.
Yeah, putting books, having kids, making shit. You know.
So yeah, look up hosting the show. Find those two lunatics. You know, John and I see. I said one name, and I can't remember the other one because the take should really hit.
We'll edit it in.
No, we won't. I have to think. One was Richter, John Richter, and the other one was Matt. There you go. There it is, Matt and John. Oh my God. Yeah, check their shit out. Anyway,
the hosts and the show, ladies and gentlemen.
We're doomed. Beep beep. All systems are fully functional. System optimization is less than nominal. Server damage detected. Please stop whatever you are doing and make your way to the nearest exit. Technical support is all complete. Please vacate the area. I repeat. Please leave. Are you even listening to me? Ooh. I will see you. Error. Server block 3 is experiencing critical ignition. System failure imminent. I hope you are proud of yourself. Initiating the Low Life Podcast.